Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Sarah.
And you're listening to
What's New?
Nancy Drew.
Come get a clue.
Boop, boop, doo.
This podcast is brought to you, as always, as part of the Fandom Limb Media Podcast Network. So for other pop culture podcasts, go to fandomlimb.com.
Here on What's New, Nancy Drew, Sarah and I recap the latest episodes of Nancy Drew, starring Kennedy McMahon. Today, we will be talking about Season 4, Episode 10, The Ballad of Lives Foregone.
What would we have done if we were wrong last episode and it was just Tristan is dead?
It would have been a very different episode.
Yeah.
But instead, we get Nancy saying pretty much right off the bat, he's still alive! He comes crawling across the ground. And I was really impressed with the CGI this episode.
Mm-hmm.
His transformation was kind of hot, but also gross.
Huh.
Well, just his like hand on the ground. It was all like, but then his face was still like the monster. I don't know. I kind of was into it.
Interesting.
Tristan-isting. And Ryan right away is like, Nancy, you need to go because this is a glass and the glass is like to kill people for way less than shooting their children.
Mm-hmm. And she will not leave. And we see he fully turns back into Tristan and he says, another adventure, shot naked and meeting your dad all in one night.
So cute. I mean, tragic, but charming.
Yeah.
And also, he knew that he was the monster, which at the end of last episode, I wasn't sure if he knew or not.
Right. I didn't either. And he says, dying in your arms is not so bad. Man, he is just pulling out all these lines. He's dying. He shouldn't be saying all that.
You're like, this is way too fast. They haven't even like gone on a date.
No, he's just way too smooth.
Yeah. Bold statement. I might start liking him more than Park, but I also have suspicions and things we need to talk about.
Whoa.
I mean, I love Park, but it's like a distance thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't worry. We'll get to it.
Okay. So Nancy is in full on like sleuthing mode here. She's like, okay, we're going to fix this come hell or high water. Ryan's like, well, it might be both. And then we get the clip from the trailer where she's telling Tristan, you're not going to die tonight.
And which you called. So good job on that.
And then we get the, like she breaks and then finally freaks out and just yells out, my God. And then I just love that we see that break of her falling from her survival mode to just complete panic.
Mm-hmm. We go over to Ryan going to get Carson. We've got a problem. I love that he calls Tristan the lobster kid, son of my mortal enemy. Dramatic much?
Yeah, yeah. He does a quick explanation about how Tristan is a sin eater. Nancy shot him with a poison arrow. Now he might die. And then Carson's just like, wait, you brought our daughter to the woods with a bow and arrow? But it was technically a crossbow.
Yeah, because Buffy.
Yeah. And he's like, stop saying sin eater. Like, that's something everyone says.
Their chemistry is always on point.
It really is. Ryan's like, we have to figure out what to do about the glasses. And Carson says, okay, we need to go. We need to talk to them parents to parents. And Ryan's like, or we bury the evidence and they won't find out. And I'm like, if you bury the evidence, that's burying Tristan.
Yeah, dang, Ryan.
Yeah.
Which goes to your thing you've been talking about, like, maybe he'll be a little bad.
I no longer think that he will be.
No,
I think
this
he'll
was
be
a,
tempted, but yeah.
This was a desperate parent moment.
Yes.
Protecting Nancy is more important than the stranger.
Yeah.
We have Nick blaming himself, and Nancy screams at him, Nick, I literally shot him, which iconic because she did, and she always be blaming herself, and in this case, Mew, yeah.
Yeah.
But Nick is still supportive, and Nick is still, you know, trying to take a little of that blame from her. I didn't take it as him blaming himself as much as trying to help Nancy not blame herself.
Oh, no, I thought that he was a little bit like, why couldn't I have done it faster? Like, I could have helped prevent all this.
Mm.
But, I mean, I don't know what they could have done. Like, it all happened so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be that night because of the whatever moon it was.
This is some of the more chaotic Drew crew shenanigans we get into because Bess is freaking out about her lack of supplies even though she's like, she's digging through all of Temperance's stuff and, you know, reminds the audience that she lost the Historical Society. And the Drew crew's like, you know, Tristan needs a hospital.
And Tristan says, no, this is a supernatural wound. Like, we can't go to the hospital with it. So that was good to have Tristan, like, involved in his whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Bess that says, we need Ace with his actual medical knowledge, which I appreciated because the last episode, we were getting a little bit of tension with her and Ace and feeling they were distancing. And so in this moment of dire, like, desperation, she's like, no, we need Ace. So I was excited about the future of their friendship.
Yes. And Nancy has a great response. Great. Let's call my ex to save the guy I like. And shot.
And then Tristan being literally not prioritizing anything correctly, which makes me just like a little heart flutter. He's like, you like me? I'm like, this is not believable, but I am living.
I loved it. It is not believable at all, but I did love it. Also, she called Ace her ex when they were never actually together.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. I actually really like it because it gives it makes a relationship title just a title, and she's crediting the emotions as that important. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's valid. Like, back in my day before I had my husband, I would credit certain short little relationships as way more important than longer ones.
Yeah.
Not always, obviously, but like, it doesn't matter if it's official, like, mm-hmm. we're going steady. It doesn't matter what it is. Her heart was there and she got to be with him in, you know, the Temperance made up world. So that's to true. Her and in this heightened emotion, he is her ex for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, that's true. I forget that she had that whole like month that they were together. Okay, so they call Ace and he is asleep at the morgue and he has all the stuff about, you know, the missing person information. He's got Ice next to him, but he answers and is on top of things right away and tells them the arrow needs to come out because it needs to get the poison out. And so Nancy is, of course, saying, okay, I can do it. I will pull it out. And he's like, no, I know you feel guilty, but it's really going to hurt. I love that he's still looking out for her, even though, like, he's not physically there to do it.
Yeah.
And Nick steps up and says that he'll do it, but he needs her to be gone.
He's going to do it with his muscles. So she does leave the room.
I like that she leaves right away because Nancy is like very task oriented. Like, okay, mm-hmm. this is what needs to happen so that we can get the next step.
And then her poor devastated face as he screams and she turns and I'm just like, Kennedy, clap, clap, clap. Like, this mm-hmm. is never going to happen. It's a canceled show. It's a CW show. But she's really giving me some Emmy stuff this season.
Oh, absolutely. I really hope that her new show gets picked up. I don't have a lot of faith with everything.
Like a Law and Order kind of thing?
No, there's The Good Doctor, and she would be a spinoff and The Good Lawyer. And so I would guess that it would be like a Monster of the Week type show.
Bess mystically slows down the bleeding, and they burn the hole closed. George has been here. She's run around, and she mentions that if he were to die, the Sin Eater line would be done. Nancy does not appreciate that and does not appreciate that she's looking for a silver lining. But I mean, I'm with George. She's looking at all aspects.
George is saying, like, the poison is fatal. It doesn't matter. It just is going to take longer to kill him.
But still insensitive of her to say it.
Yes. They also talk about, can you imagine if your soul was forced to keep reincarnating no matter what? Which I think is going to be very interesting and play into Nancy's storyline later.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, there was some stuff in here that I was like, oh, we're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know how much of this season was planned before they knew the cancellation, or if they wrote the whole thing just assuming it was being canceled. Because I know it got canceled, like, they'd been working on
they
it before.
They were filming.
Yeah.
I think they probably assumed it was coming. Just from knowing that other CW shows had that mentality.
For sure.
We're back at Icarus Hall, and Nick finds some Latin that says, "Need sin last eaten to counteract poison."
The dads show up with the glasses. They immediately all start getting into it, and Mama Glass just is like, "Hey, if he dies, I'm killing one of you."
Yeah.
Like, pretty much literally.
Oh, yeah. They take an eye for an eye. And they're like, this isn't helpful. We are trying to save Tristan. Does he remember, you know, what his last sin was? And they say that Tristan doesn't remember anything. And that they have spent 15 years trying to cure him. And that's how they got into the relic trade.
That made me so happy. Because at the end of last season, and even a little bit early here, I felt like they... Obviously, they're connected to things, but I felt like they were a little random.
Yeah.
And the whole relic trade thing wasn't my favorite storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And this really brought it all in for me.
Yes, I agree. Bess pulls Riot away. She is furious that he brought the glasses there. Like, don't you remember they tried to kill us? And Ryan tells her, you need to step away. There's too many cooks in the kitchen, so it's fine. Then she gets a text from Ace asking if there's anything he can do for Tristan. And she angrily replies, not at the moment. Kitchen is full.
Yeah. And at first I was like, dang, she really out to get Ace. And I was like, no, she's upset that she's being pushed aside.
Yeah.
Which never happens.
No. I thought that was a dumb move on their part, why they would get rid of Bess.
I'm glad it happened. Because then we got an Ace and Bess scene, which I really need the season to end with them being BFF.
Yes. Did you read their last text messages?
No.
God,
I'm so bad at that. You know, these last couple episodes, I've been taking notes the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking down a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it was just a short thing where she says, I pulled a Bess. And Ace puts ?? And she says, I'll call you soon to explain. And so I think it's right after she did her whole speech at the courtroom.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, I thought that was a cute little interaction there.
That is cute.
They've always been good about like having the text messages have something else. I remember the first season where Ace texts Nancy, and all it is a series of his texts being ignored by her.
She busy.
Well, except for he was like, can you do this thing for work? She says, no.
Yes, I do remember that. Because she is not very... great at keeping a typical job.
Exactly.
We go over to Ace talking to the spirit at the morgue. I am happy that that's a continued storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Picks up. This really felt like a two-parter, like very strongly. Like if it had been made years ago, it would have had a to be continued at the end of last episode.
Yeah, I think you're right. He has his headphones on, lights off, hands are in ice water. He's telling the ghost that everyone thinks that they are Mia Preston, and Mia's parents are coming to claim the body, but then he won't be able to talk to them anymore, and he can't help them if the body's not there. And so she pops up all scary like, and she's like, I'm trying.
He freaks out, justifiably.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm sorry, I pushed you too hard. And then Bess comes in, catching Ace with his hands in the bucket between his legs.
I was so relieved. I was like, the writers were giving me what I wanted. And I was so happy because I was like, oh, good. She's not annoyed at him. She went to him and she's going to help him in this moment because he's clearly a hot, stank mess and something's up. And she doesn't even question it right away. She's like, okay, they don't need me, but you do. What are we going to do?
You certainly do.
Yeah.
Back at Icarus Hall, George and Carson are working on the timeline of when the last sin was eaten based on the roundel in Nick's footage. No one is going to remember what they confessed because, you know, the sin eater eats a sin.
Right.
The stomach pump won't work because it only comes after a sin eater dies, which is why the late eight were able to. Those sins were released, but Tristan can't.
They have to work as a team to figure out who the last sinner is. Ryan is going to go with the glasses to, with Mama Glass to the yacht club to see if they can figure anything out there because he is a Hudson and you need a Hudson to get into the yacht club. Mama Glass is like, okay, I guess, but she was not excited about that initially.
No. And the glasses admit that they were the ones who raised the eight bodies in a misfire trying to cure Tristan. Finally, we have an answer for that. And Nancy's like, you know, our friend almost went to jail for that.
And they're like, yeah, we don't care.
And Nick's like, we're going to discuss that later.
This really felt like nearing the end of the season. Mm-hmm. We have 3 episodes left. I don't want to talk about that right now. Cause I know I don't have tears for that right now, but I definitely will at some point. Yeah, this really was like wrapping it all up in a nice way, but still felt like we have more to go. Like it didn't feel rushed.
Yes. So while Ryan and Shelby are going to go to the yacht club, Jonas is going to go to get the Ambeth. It's a recall relic, and it can prod a sinner to confess their last sin. So they just need to find the last sinner, and then they can... I love that they describe it as it prods, as we see later. Like, it was very much a cattle prod kind of thing.
Yep. We go over to Nancy and Tristan, having a little conversation. She's talking about his past lives, and he... he doesn't want to talk about that. He wants to talk about them. He's like, you're scared of me.
Which, fair. I would be scared of him.
Right. But is it fair for him to be very like...
No, because he says that she can ask him anything and he'll be honest. And so she asks about the past lives and he doesn't answer it. And he asks her if she remembers all of her past lives, passing it off as a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. I am into where this is going, but if this is truly going where I think it's going, I do not know how the Nace shippers are going to feel about the end of the series.
I mean, they can't go that way, right? I don't know. I have found I cannot predict what these writers are going to do.
I have a very strong prediction at the end of this episode.
Okay.
And yeah, we'll get there.
They talk about the curse of the Sin Eater that's like a cancer on your soul, and it reincarnates to an unborn baby, and that it can be any baby born in Horseshoe Bay. I mean, it was the right description, but also like Nancy understands how cancer affects people. Yeah. And so that's how she is able, like she's processing it like empathizing in the ways she knows. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So Nancy now basically breaks up with another guy she isn't officially dating.
Well, she doesn't totally. She just talks about how her last relationship was really messy. You seemed uncomplicated and that she's not ready for this.
But he says, I'm still the guy you danced with.
And she says, I know, that's why it's hard. So I took that as she had not decided.
Mm. And she says, I'm going to save you now. So, yeah, it's really him, like, kind of forcing this narrative, because then he responds with, and then we go our separate ways. So he's, like, putting the words in her mouth, maybe to make
says,
it easier.
I don't know. But also, like, if the guy's dying right there, like, you're going to let him down easy.
Sure. And then she has more trauma for more dead boyfriends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't know. She seems fine since Owen.
Well, yeah, but she also lost Ace.
Yeah, that's true.
She didn't feel fine with that one.
She did not, no. That one kind of affected her.
Yeah, mildly. All right. My note here was, damn, Nancy, wait till you save him to break his heart. But you read it more as a maybe, and I read it more as a it's ending. Then we go over to the Platankers, where Ace is filling Bess in on what's been going on. Bess says that she couldn't see the ghost, so clearly the ghost prefers Ace.
And she does not like that. It could be a malevolent spirit. And Ace is like, no, she's lost. She's restless. She's confused. I'm like, she's a lot like you, it sounds like.
If they want to prove it, they need to find the real Mia Preston.
Yeah, that way we know that this body is not Mia. And they will not move it so that Ace can continue to try to help.
We go over to the people trying to work on the Tristan situation. And it is realized that the last sin was 2 weeks ago, because that was when the roundel did its thing, right?
Yes. And there's no footage in the woods of the Sin Eater since then.
Ryan asks Shelby questions about Tristan because he searches better when he talks, which was a really charming character trait.
Yeah.
I took it as he's just trying to like be a human. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, no, this is a thing I do. I'm like, no, you're a human who cares about other people. And so you're asking about the guy that you're trying to save.
Yeah, it was in the scene where he hears about how you know, it started when Tristan was six and he was just the happiest child before that. But then they started disappearing at night, having nightmares, and Western medicine didn't help. And then this is where we learn that, like, his soul is shackled here, that he would get sick if he wasn't near here. They know that Sin Eaters die by age 30, even without poison arrows.
Which explains all of the late eight and all of them not making it to age 30.
And she says that they did find the Oblato Karka ritual, but they mistranslated it. But they have had business disagreements with so many people that they can't get help. And this was when I feel like Ryan was like, okay, they are no longer my mortal enemies. Like, and he says that he hasn't alienated everyone yet, so he is happy to help them.
And then they find a camera.
Yeah.
Because it light reflected off of it. I was like, dang, you must have looked at the right angle because that thing is crusty and small in a damp-ass little basement. Someone has been keeping tabs on the sinners, but that person can also probably see them down there was my concern.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
Maybe using the sink to wash your hands turns the camera on, like turning the sink on because they go wash their hands.
Oh, was it an actual, like, turn-on sink? I don't remember.
I thought it was just,
like, a basin that they put their hands in. Oh,
that makes more sense because of how old it was and everything. But maybe it's a motion sensor thing.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. But which they would have triggered that
right.
when they pulled the camera out.
So I'm going to go with what I said because we find out later that they're not on it. Like, there's not a picture of them in the printer later.
Right, but that could also be that the person hasn't checked in yet to print the picture.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right.
That was what my thought was.
But if they went in there to print them and it wasn't like an auto print, then why would they have just left them in the printer and not done whatever they wanted to do with them? So I'm going to say,
I don't know.
You activate the sink, you wash your hand, like turning the sink on.
Maybe when the thing screams, it turns it on. Yeah. I want to go back and watch when George went down there and did her sin and then went over to the basin to see if we can see the camera there.
The process of, camera and also like how she washes her hands.
Yeah. And that scene with Ryan saying we can get a photo of the last sinner and Shelby saying, and maybe we can find out who's tracking the sinners, which I thought was really interesting because she is not solely focused on saving her son.
She's not 100% on the level. Like, I think that she's Shady McBoots.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just, when I first watched it, when she says, and maybe find out who's tracking the sinners, I'm like, she's looking at the big picture about everything and not just solely focused on that. But I'm not so sure anymore.
We have 6 hours left. Nancy suggests pulling memories out of Tristan because that's a normal thing people can do.
Yeah.
And then Nancy's like, we don't need Bess. I was like, you always need Bess, but I get what she was doing. She was like, no, I have another option. It just sounded harsh.
It did. But she has Temperance's memory weave powder. I would not trust anything Temperance left.
Truly. Do they not remember the freaking moths earlier this season?
So wasn't it the weave? Didn't that kill that guy?
I think so. Also, maybe Nancy, move back with your dad and burn that place to the ground.
Right? Yeah. Yeah,
we're on the same page.
I mean, I wouldn't burn it down. I'd try to sell it, make some money. Curse someone else, I guess. I like, wouldn't do that.
Dang. Or you could just open it up as like place for ferrets to live.
That would be great. Except for I hear that ferrets like to be free.
Yeah, but that's a pretty big building to be free. Like, that's bigger than a cage.
It's true.
And they could have the whole grounds, too. How about that? Just a ferret mansion.
There we go.
Nick and Nancy go with Tristan into his memories. There's a really subtle moment that I really appreciated where Nick asks if it's okay if he goes with them. And Nancy says yes. I think Nancy says yes. But Tristan gives this like subtle little nod. I really liked the like consent moment there. It was really like, because you're literally going into someone's brain. And he doesn't know Nick.
Right.
So I liked that. More props to how with it and I don't want to say woke. How like modernly Gen Z and level-headed and not toxic Nick is.
Yes, absolutely.
I got to the words I wanted eventually.
Yeah. So they are in his memory, and he, as a Sin Eater, is walking the town's perimeter. consuming the cloud of this sin. That gives an answer of what the late eight were doing. They were going around, like, when they were eating the sins, they were going around the perimeter there.
Mm-hmm.
Tristan says it feels like he's getting a terrible beating as he's eating it.
Yeah, that's not great. We get to Tristan outside of the memory. He starts saying things, clues about the last sin. And he says, ends with mac and cheese, which I laughed out loud at. It's one of my two favorite foods. It made me want some. And it was just a needed moment of brevity.
Yeah. With George being like, mac and cheese, was that a clue or is he just hungry?
I'm just hungry.
So the full thing he says with the clues is a man, a lust, marble, gardenias, and mac and cheese. And when George says the thing about the clue, Carson's like, it doesn't matter. We're a great team. This is like Discovery. We can figure it out. I love that he's like bringing it into his world. Like, okay, I can lawyer the situation.
And she's like, calm down.
Yeah. And they call Jonas to meet them at the Drew house because he is coming with the Ambeth. He's coming with the memory prodder.
I never once wrote down that word, so. Then we have Tristan coming through the hallway, and I'm like, is he sleepwalking? What's going on? But no, it's one of his old lives. It's the girl from the boat.
Yeah, he says, Dad, I told you I wouldn't be there when the boat docks. And Nancy's like, okay, she's talking to Nick, like that sometimes brains regress when people are dying. And that just broke my heart that she may have had to live through that. And she tells Tristan we can, you know, he can take the boat out when he feels better. And he goes, ew, who's Tristan? I'm naming the boat Lost Time.
Hilarious.
Yeah. And they realize it's India Burnett.
Also, really nice how these clues were all kind of laid out for us.
Yeah.
Because they both have boats.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the same soul. So kind of cool to see how his soul is actually related to who he is now.
Oh, yeah. That
not
is
his,
cool.
Not his souls, his past lives.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and take a break and then come back and see which of his past lives is going on.
We are back. This was such a short little non-commercial break that we're about to get into, and it was action-packed of going back and forth between all these scenes. The way I take my notes is always like scene by scene, so I can kind of see like where we are. And this one's like boom, 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 switching. We start with Nancy laying out pictures of all of Tristan's different lives. And he says something and she's like, oh, that's this guy.
Yeah, far out, man.
It was cool how on it she was.
And then meanwhile, over at the Drew residence, we got Jonas, George, and Carson. And they narrow it down to find this person. Because of the marble, they knew that it was going to be like a new build. And then they find a place that has a homeowners association that has gardenias on it. And they had a mac and cheese bake-off.
Yeah, they're solving it. They find a handsy picture. You can see this guy is touching somebody with the mirror. I'm like, who took this picture? You see the hand like on the small of her back or on her booty.
Terrible maybe don't picture. Post that picture.
No.
Also, maybe don't put your hand on not your partner's ass.
Period. In but public. Especially in a picture.
And, yeah.
There must have been something in the mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm. Over in the woods, Bess and Ace are looking for where Mia went camping.
Ah, but the Hardy boy used to be an Eagle Scout, and he notices that this is an old trail used to be here, so let's go that way.
Yeah, because a lot of the trails were closed after the tsunami and the mudslides, and so if Mia knew the old trails, she would have gone with an old one and not one of these new ones that they opened up. We go check in back with George, Jonas, and Carson. And they are really playing it up. They got this basket of goodies for Johnny Wedgeford and act like they're new to the neighborhood. So while they are talking with Johnny, George just takes the ambeth and shoves it into him. And he convulses and drops.
So last episode, we had all these Buffy the Vampire references. This made me really happy because our other favorite show together is Veronica Mars. And mm-hmm. She was always tasing people.
Yep. That looked exactly like what it was. Carson is mad. He said that you didn't say it would do that. And then Johnny is starting to confess and saying Jory and I had a... And George is like, look, we don't want money. We aren't going to tell your wife. Speak the truth into the jar and never mention it to anyone.
And they're leaving, and Carson's like, we got to talk about this mystical extortion. Oh my God, this is terrible. And George is like, we don't have time for this.
Also, they took the basket with them. The least they could do was leave them with something.
Well, you never know when you're going to need a basket for a tasering of somebody else.
That's true. So George calls Nancy and says, I got the last sin. Clock is ticking. Meet at the Drew house because it's closer. And then she looks at Carson. She's like, are we good? And he nods, but it's pretty unconvincingly.
He ain't good. Back over to Bess, telling Ace to take the headphones and radio off before he gets electrocuted because it's starting to rain, right?
Yes. Well, and there's lightning storms going on.
They find Mia, and it's been, what, 3-4 days? And she's, yeah, it's been 4 days, and she's got a broken leg, and she's in a hole. I'm glad she was, like, alive and conscious, but she's like, help.
Yeah, they're able to get her out, but then lightning hits a tree, and as it's falling, the ghost moves out of the way and saves them.
Yeah, like mystical, like whoosh, like, mm-hmm. like energy power blasts those branches. And Ace sees it, and it's like, thank you, ghost. You know, they reminded me of that movie I like named Ghost.
You know, I haven't seen that one.
George and company show up to a very aggressive Tristan, and he's getting further and further back in past lives.
Yeah, he's currently Onias Carver back from 1882, and he's calling them all monsters.
They try the sin that George got from Zappy McZapperson, and unfortunately, that was not the last sin. It doesn't work.
And so Nancy says that she's going back in the memory weave, and Tristan tells her to find Nashua, and that he will take her where she needs to go.
Yeah, because the original Sin Eater knows where the sins are kept. So she goes in. And this time she's by herself, no Nick. And he seems to know her and takes her hand. And I wasn't, like, super suspicious yet. But I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. I was more, like, concerned and, like, worried about the time crunch.
Well, and he says, we've walked this path many times before.
True. I guess that is suspicious.
And there was, like, lightning when they grabbed hands. So I'm like, is this related to the lightning storms happening?
Oh.
And he takes her to the yacht club basement because that's where it all started. And they go into the mirror.
And there's a very pretty display of cool vases with all the different sins. And she's going to release it.
And she has no idea what it is. But it smokes up. And then in real life, it's coming out of Tristan's mouth. Nick catches it in the jar and then puts it in Tristan's wound. And they have no idea what the sin is, but it worked.
The fact that we didn't see or hear what it was let me know that this is going to be a huge reveal.
Yep.
Did you have any guesses on who it was going to be?
Yep.
My mind was racing. I was thinking maybe Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan might have been my own. And then I was maybe like, was it one of the glass parents? But that didn't really make any sense to me. But I was not thinking it was who it was. And so props to the show for continuing to out-sleuth the sleuthers.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Then we go in and check in with Shelby and Ryan. They're at some creepy house in the woods. And they're trying to find out who the Watcher is. And they say that this is a smart person.
The Watcher Council of Slayers.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding.
I don't think they were that smart.
No, they were terrible.
Yeah.
And she is a liar, a dirty liar, because she finds something. She's like, nope, didn't find nothing.
So she found the picture of George at the fountain, right? That's what we saw.
That was George.
Yeah.
And one other picture underneath that we do not see.
And then Tristan calls.
Wait, how did that newer picture get underneath the George picture? That's not how printers work. Is it? No.
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 Was it actually on the printer? Did you pull it straight from the printer or was it like to the side?
I thought it was on the printer. I could be wrong. Maybe it was on the side. Maybe it was on the side. Yeah, maybe George just came out the printer and the other one was laying there. But anyways, Tristan calls and she's relieved. He's alive.
And then Ryan says, you know, I was waiting until he was better to tell you, but my contact came back. This is a mistranslated word. It means last sinner. The last sinners are vital to all things sin eater ritual related. And she thanks him, says the place is a dead end. IP address must have been spoofed.
He does not believe her.
No, he does not. Good on him.
Good on him, but I would have kept looking around then.
I feel like he was going to return later without her. That was what my thought was. Like, it would look too suspicious.
Right. And you know, did she drive? Like, yeah. She got left his ass there. She took the photo, which... I don't love this shot because it's very like, I believe a villain. Look at my plan. Ooh, I have a paper in my jacket. It was very that.
Yeah.
But it was helpful for us as an audience. But I feel like you could have just shown when she saw the picture, just put in the jacket then. But whatever.
Yeah. Over at the Drew house, George is making tea for her and Carson.
Because he's got that first day of the supernatural look.
And he is having a hard time. He is upset that he was involved in a coerced confession and premeditated attack. George blows him off and is justifying like that it saved Tristan's life. Like, we needed to do it. The guy's fine. And he just keeps arguing and she shuts him down. She's like, have you learned nothing today? Having the senator around means that crimes like bashing a girl's head in or watching a man drown in the tub will get covered up. You can't try cases when no one knows about the case.
This is so beautiful because the mentor becomes the mentee.
Mm-hmm.
And George gets to teach him a little something about the supernatural. And it's just really cool how they're not a duo I would have thought would be a big deal on the show. But the season's really, like, making them an item. Not an item. It's making them a pair. Yeah. And I'm enjoying them as a pair.
Yeah, I agree. Also, Carson, you're not that innocent because you did kind of steal a baby and take her to Europe and raise her.
Yeah.
And never told the dad about it and buried Lucy's dress in your backyard. Like, he had a lot of shady stuff going on. So,
absolutely.
And that was all recently.
Over at Nick and Nancy, he lets her know that he helped Tristan get home and she shares her feelings about everything being complicated, and he says everyone is complicated. You're not going to find someone that isn't complicated. I freaking love them. She's got her head on his shoulder. I think I said this last episode. Nick would be the best ex-boyfriend in the world.
He really would be.
I love him.
Yeah. He is doing great. And she says that there was a moment in the mind weave where it felt like Nashua and her were connected. Nick also tells her that he thinks that she's more drawn to Tristan now because he's a mystery.
Which, fair, because she's toxic. Who's more toxic, Nancy or Veronica Mars?
Veronica Mars.
Yeah, I know. I heard it.
Yeah. And then she gets a text from Tristan that says, meet me, please. Did you think that it was actually from Tristan?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought it was his parents took his phone.
Oh, fair. No, I'm very into the love story right now. Shocker, I know. We go over to Ace and Bess. They are relieved that Mia is saved and Tristan is fine. Bess is a little worried, though, about Ace's interest in this case of trying to help this ghost. And she compares it to Odette. I'm like, well, that's jumping the gun a little bit.
Oh, I don't think so.
Well, I want to hear your theories on all that. After she says that, we see a moment that I'm like, oh, okay, no, she's on the right track. But it's just interesting. I loved their hug. She says, please save yourself the heartache.
Yeah. So at the start of the season, like when they were describing the people describing the season, they said that Ace would have a love interest as well.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And so I'm guessing that that's what this is.
But it's at the very end.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's going to be like a long thing. I don't think it's going to be another Odette situation.
Just another episode. Probably.
Like help her find closure, help himself find closure. And then
gotcha.
That's what I'm thinking.
Gotcha. All right. I'm excited to get to our end of season predictions here in a second. All right. So we see the ghost. She shows up and he apologizes for the way he acted when he first saw her being scared. And he's like, show me who you are now. And I took that as like, show me, like, I won't freak out again when you look like a scary ghost. But she shows him who she was alive. We don't know this person, do we?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, it was quick, but I didn't recognize her.
I mean, she was
she's like glowing in white. And then we go back to Icarus Hall. Nancy and Tristan are sitting on the floor with lots of candles.
Yeah, so it's Icarus Hall, so she set that up.
Right.
Or he got there.
That's what, like, I was wondering.
Hey, you got a match? And did that while she stood there awkwardly watching him.
Yeah, I was trying to think about all that. I don't know if you got to the episode in Gotham Knights where the Court of Owls was having like one of their big galas or something, and there were candles freaking everywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah, and it's just like, whose job is it to set up all of these candles?
I don't remember. Yeah, I did. I got to that, but I definitely heard you and your co-host Jake talking about that episode, yeah.
Yeah, so now I'm like, every time I see candles, I'm like, who? Like, the poor set person that has to get that all set up.
So she doesn't want him to leave her alone, which I thought was very telling. And he says getting shot by her was their first date, which, psychotic, but cute.
Yeah.
My two favorite things.
Yeah. He asked what changed her mind, and she said the spark. And was
lightning spark.
Mm-hmm. Was asking, like, why, how did you know that I should see Nashua? And he said that, like, towards the end, that Nashua could get through to Tristan. And Nancy says that maybe I'm more prepared for you than I thought.
And I thought the Nace shippers are not going to like this.
Nope.
We go over to Ryan messaging Red, and he finds out to cure the Sin Eater, they must sacrifice the body of the last sinner.
And he is suspicious of the glasses. He's like, I think he's telling Red, like, I'm worried I've stepped into something. Cut to the glasses showing up at Icarus Hall. They say the last sin eaten was Nancy's, and they steal her away. They have a picture of her at the camera.
What did she do?
Okay, so it has to be, it's been so suspicious that Ace has been separated. It has to be something to do with Ace.
Definitely, but what?
I don't know.
She did something and then made them all forget about it?
Right, I don't know what she would have done. And they're still talking about the curse.
Right, so everyone knows about that.
Are they still talking about the curse?
Oh. Oh. Did they forget about the curse?
I know at...
She wouldn't risk forgetting about the curse, because if they got together in that situation, then he would die.
Yeah, that's true.
So she wouldn't do that.
No.
Or she shouldn't have done that.
Unless she made a move on him.
Oh, and almost killed him?
And then she confessed that sin to make it go away. I thought that the only reason why she would have done it is if she had tried what they did with George to go say a sin to see what happens. That was my only thought. I went back and watched the episode where she goes down there, and she was not wearing the same clothes that she is in the picture that the glasses had.
Oh, that's
smart. So it was another time.
So that's possible. So maybe they already tried the thing they did with George.
Yeah.
And they didn't get to it in time, and they forgot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But
all they would forget, though, was the sin.
Yeah, you're right. They would forget their whole plan. Yeah.
Probably.
It's confusing.
Yeah. It is.
What I do know is that this is the first... You ready for this? I need eye contact. This is the first episode since season 2 that I have felt the show might not end with Nancy and Ace together.
Yeah. I can definitely see that.
And I'm not even mad at it, because I like Tristan and I'm curious to see where it goes. And I don't like when shows do this back and forth, on again, off again mess. And this show has given so much. I like Nancy. I like Ace. And I want them together. But the show has given so much time and attention to they can't be together, that I think what's going to happen is either Nancy is going to end up with Tristan and there's some magical, like, past life thing that they're destined to be together, which is a little strange but intriguing. Or they're going to end up together, and then the last episode is going to be a full jump, and her and Tristan will have broken up. I'm talking like 5-year jump.
Yeah.
And her and Tristan will have broken up. Grant's back, you know, broing around with his Hardy boy.
Well, I mean, how in 5 years, he won't be alive.
Who?
Tristan.
Oh.
Or he may not be. He only has until 30.
No, they're going to solve it. He's not going to die. They're going to solve it.
Yeah. But right now, to solve it, Nancy has to die.
Well, what's going to happen is someone's going to go cause another sin so it no longer is Nancy. And then that person will die. Weren't you saying something like that? You said you thought
that
a
certain character.
Ryan's going
to go do that.
That's what you meant when you texted me that you thought Ryan was going to die, right?
That's not what I meant, but now it is.
Well, I couldn't, because you texted me you thought Ryan would die and I didn't understand why. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, yeah, that would make sense. If Ryan goes and commits another sin, stops them.
That would make sense because he has been present when they, like, he was there when they explained to George how to go do it. So he knows exactly what to do.
He knows what to do. The only thing is he would have to do all this before they kill Nancy.
Yeah.
Like, how, so what's he going to do? Call them and be like, hey, don't kill her yet.
Tristan will call him.
But Tristan, they knocked out Tristan too.
Yeah, but he can come back. He's a sin eater. He'll wake right up. Chunky's going to wake him up.
Do you have any other predictions?
I definitely think that Nancy is a reincarnated soul.
Yeah.
But I don't know how.
Or what that means.
I don't know if she always has been or if she had another piece of soul like put in her kind of thing. I don't know.
So MVPs. I have mine for entertaining. I don't know if I have mine for helpful.
I have both of mine. Okay, so MVP for most entertaining. We might have the same answer.
I put Tristan.
I also said Tristan.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising to me because of the different voices and everything.
Yeah.
For me, it was like the cute little lines while he's dying was just so charming.
Yeah. So I thought he really shined as an actor and a character in this one. I really enjoyed his 10-hour death scene.
Oh, God. Basically. As far as helpful, the Drew crew really came together.
Well, no.
Well.
Because Bess and Ace were separate.
Sure. Sure. But the first scene where they're all running around frantic.
Do you want me to say mine?
Yeah.
So I may have given it to him last week. I don't remember. I definitely have before. But Nick. I think Nick came through when it was needed. He was Nancy's rock through the episode, and he was able to pull the arrow out. He found out all this information. I think he really is the most dependable one in the group after Bess.
Is it okay if I piggyback off that?
Absolutely.
All right. What's next episode, Sarah?
Next episode is season 4, episode 11, The Sinner's Sacrifice.
Oh, not episode 11. We're so close.
It's not going to be Carson, is it?
How would it be Carson?
If he finds out about it, Carson will do anything to save Nancy.
They're going to have to do that crap so quick. I don't know.
Well, who knows what the rest of the ritual is that needs to be done. Like, it's not just take her and kill her.
Oh,
like,
you're right.
Something that rose all those bodies. All 8 bodies.
I guess we'll find out.
What happens if Tristan confesses a sin?
That's a great question.
Because that could be the other thought, is he knows what his parents are doing, and so he goes there.
But he got captured too.
I thought he just was knocked out and left there.
Oh, I thought.
Am I wrong? Did
they dragged
him
out.
Oh, maybe they did.
I don't know.
I was too all worked up.
Oh, yeah. It was a very intense episode. It was a good episode.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you so much for listening. I cannot wait to see what happens. I cannot wait for the return of Chunky the Ferret Temperance. And until next time, keep on smoothing.
Bye.
Picture this. You have a long commute to work and just want to listen to a good podcast. But there are too many choices. Anime, film, comic books, science. What will you do?
Well, never fear. We are here with all of your podcast needs.
Welcome, all freaks and geeks. We are the Square Roundtable Podcast, a collective of Black nerds discussing all things anime, comics, science, and pop culture related. Please join us for our weekly podcast every Friday on squareroundtablepod.fandomlim.com, YouTube, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Be there and be square.